listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today I want to share just a couple of things. Can I encourage you for a few minutes? Can I? Are you sure? Austin, can I do it? Everybody smile. Remember, I love group participation. If I had toilet paper, I'd do what my ninth grade algebra teacher used to do. You fell asleep in his class, he'd throw a roll of toilet paper at you. Hard. I'm not talking about, boop, wake up. He would stand up and baseball toss that rascal into your head while you were sleeping. I loved it. I thought it was great. Little by little, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 23 real fast. I'm going to read a verse and then we're going to keep going. Is that all right? See? Y'all are catching on. Let me tell you something. God is moving in this place. Regardless of whether you see it with your own eyes or whether you understand it with your own understanding, God is moving in this place. You can look around and see the wonderful new faces that we have in here. It's great to see you guys. That's family over there. How y'all doing? God is moving in this place. This is a family that God has put us in, and I'm so grateful because I love family. Now, how many of you know the enemy is against the institution of family? He hates family because family is a direct reflection of the family of God. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. When he looks at you and sees Jesus, he sees the Godhead. He sees the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He sees heaven. He sees what he wants and can't have. So he's going to do everything he can to stop that. And he's going to start with the head. He's going to start with our pastor. If you're not praying for your pastor every day, pray for your pastor every day. Because trust me, he's just a man just like you and I, just like Elijah was. We pray, he prays, God moves. If we're walking right. But the enemy's going to start with him, and then he's going to come to you. So we're going to stand arm in arm, and little by little, we're going to defeat the enemy every single day. See? Man, y'all are awesome. All right, Exodus 23, verse 30. Little by little, I'll drive them out before you. I'll drive them out before you until you've increased enough to take possession of the land. Let me read that one more time. Let it sink in. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. We all know the story of Israel's exodus out of Egypt. We have that. All of us have been hearing that since we were young. But see, God gave the children of Israel a promise of a perfect land and an inheritance, just like he's given us. He's given us great and precious promises, just like he did the children of Israel. There's no difference, just time and culture. Right? Now, here's the thing. In order to obtain the promises of God, we need to live according to the word of God. To live a righteous life before him, which he knew we couldn't do, so he sent Jesus to help us do that anyway. He helped us accomplish righteousness because ours was filthy through Jesus. He said, by the way, here are your promises. Here's what you need to do to get them, and I'm going to send Jesus to help you get them. So basically, all you have to do is say, yes, sir, I'm good. Let's go. And he does basically the rest of it. If you want the things of God operating in your life, then you need to make up your mind and set a goal to get them. How many of you are goal-driven and oriented people? Raise your hand. I'm not raising my hand. My wife is one of the biggest goal setters and reachers I have ever known. I so admire that because I set a goal. It takes me a while to get it. Way out there. I have to kick my own self in my proverbial rear end and make myself do to get what I need to get. There's a process of achievement for every goal we have. Notice the hint word process. There's a process of achievement for every goal that we have. See, sometimes we quit the process and we lose and we wonder why we lost. Because you quit the process to gain the victory that you need. Now, the children of Israel for 40 years whined and complained and quit. And God said, I'm about to kill every one of them. Moses said, wait a minute. You don't want to do that. And God said, you're right, I don't. I love you, so I'll put up with them. I don't want to be one of those that quits. And God says, because of my son, I'm going to put up with you. I want him to look at me and go, because you love me. Because you love me. This is what I have for you. I love that. There's a process of achievement. Money. Money doesn't just pop up on trees. I wish it did. I'd cut them all down and burn them and put them in my house. My house would be full with money trees. But it doesn't happen that way. It happens when you graduate high school. You go to college. You go to trade school. Get a job. Make money. Save it. Bring it in. Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away. That's why nobody that wins the lottery is going to be successful. Not honest. People got to think about that. But he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Little by little. There's that term. You're going to hear me say that a lot today. Little by little little by little makes it grow. He gathers money. Education. You don't wake up as a child. You don't go to sleep as an 8-year-old and wake up an intellectual and a college professor. It didn't just pounce on you while you were asleep. It takes grade by grade. College, graduation, accomplishment. You have to grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding little by little every day so you can go out and conquer the job world. Fulfill your position in society and take your place where God has you to go. Little by little. That's why it takes 12 years to go through this. Man, I wish I could have done it in 6. Great. But no, it didn't. But it happened. Athletics and music. You don't just decide one day to start. I'm going to start playing baseball and then immediately tomorrow get a scholarship to play at a major university. You don't get a D1 scholarship when you just started playing baseball 2 months in advance. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. Little by little, after much practice, years of growing and understanding and wisdom and knowledge and health and fitness, will you be able to accomplish that goal? An accomplished pianist didn't sit down one day and go, Mary had a little lamb. Bam, I'm ready to go. Carnegie Hall, they're the best in the world. Didn't happen. Not going to happen. I wish I could play the piano, but I can't. You need to stop it. You can. Health and fitness. Now, here's one that we all battle with, deal with, or something. Now, trust me. We're not going to have this proverbial thought of, I'm going to go to sleep, have me a Peter Parker Spider-Man moment, jump up, and boom, I am nasty. Look good. I'm looking good. I'm muscled up. That doesn't happen. Muscle mass does not hop on your body. Trust me. I've spent the last 15 years figuring that one out. Now, look. You got to promise me not to laugh. Everybody promise. Say, I promise. Some of you are lying because you're going to laugh. Don't say it, Kurt. When I graduated high school, it's really sad. My driver's license, praise God, I grew. My driver's license when I was 17, graduated high school, said 5'7", 105 pounds. Somebody laughed. I heard it. I'm just kidding. 5'7", 100, I grew 5 inches. You remember, Mama. I grew 5 inches and gained like 10 pounds. That wasn't much. I was like, where did it all go? Years of going to the gym and drinking protein and eating more food than I could possibly ever eat. I finally started growing, but you know what? I was okay. It worked out. I gained a little bit more weight. I'm not going to tell you how much. I'm just kidding. But health and fitness, and it's the same the other way around. You can't be overweight, go to bed, and this magical metabolism fairy comes in with a chainsaw and hacks some of that off, and you wake up looking like you just jumped off the cover of a magazine. Doesn't happen. Both ways. Doesn't happen. We would love for that to happen. I'd love to wake up with about 20 more pounds of muscle on me. I'm like, yes. I'd be happy and I could, you know, accomplish my goals, which they're way far as lifting. It would be great, wouldn't it? We'd be like, woohoo, we have made it. And you can ask my wife, Brooke. You can ask Tracy. These ladies are fitness instructors, and this stuff comes by years of training and experience, doesn't it? Growing in wisdom and knowledge. Growing in wisdom and knowledge of health and fitness before you can live a healthy and fit lifestyle. That's just the way it is. Little by little, we make things grow in our own lives. Little by little, God will draw and pull you to where He needs you and wants you to be. Sometimes we want it right now. We hear that all the time. God, I want this promise now. He said, you're not ready for it. God, what am I going to be doing in 10 years? You're not ready for it. You're not 10 years down the line. Just hold off a little while. You're not ready for it. Now, see, for me, I started playing drums. I'm going to use this. I'm very visual. I'm very animated, as if you couldn't tell. So I'm gonna use this drum. You can look at this illustration one of two ways. Number one, you're the drum. Everybody say, I'm a drum. Y'all are so awesome. Y'all are very, very participating today. Or say, I'm the drummer. Okay. Now, if you picture yourself as the drum, now, you know what? In ministry and in life, we use the things that God has given us. You use what God has gifted you with. Now, see, Pastor Charlie and I were talking the other day, actually pumping gas. It's fantastic. Pumping gas, you can have a conversation at least 3 minutes. So, have a conversation over a tank of gas. We were talking about the gifts and the abilities that God gives us. God gives us unique gifts and abilities to each and every single one of us. You use those because God gave them to you. God gives you a gift like a parent gives you a gift just so you can enjoy it. He gets joy out of knowing that He gave that to you. Now, there's the other part of what you do with that gift. Like my dad has given me several. Pardon me, I mean, if you guys don't like this or do, it's okay, I love you. My dad has given me 2 or 3 guns in this past year. Actually scared my stepmom and think he's 62. She's like, you're giving all your prize guns away, your badges? He was a cop for 32 years. She's like, is something, do I need to know something? He's like, no. He said, when I die, I can leave them money, but I won't ever get to see them use it or enjoy it. He said, if I can give it to them now, these gifts, I can watch them use them and get more joy out of it. I said, Pop, that's pretty prophetic, actually. That's a good thought. God gives you gifts and abilities, and we use those to to preach the gospel, to worship, and to lead people into the presence of God. So, you can think of yourself as this drum, and God wants to take your life and make it a masterpiece. He wants to take your life and fine-tune it. Now, see, it takes little by little. This is going to be loud, so I'll go ahead and apologize. So little by little, that doesn't sound good. When you start out, you don't sound too good. Okay? None of us do. We start out in this thing with Christ, we don't sound too good. So what he does is he'll take and he'll tweak us little by little. He'll do a little something, something. That sin that you are so easily beset with that kind of nails you down, he begins to do a little tweaking and get that gone. You still don't sound good. But little by little, God is, he's tweaking you, he's stretching you. He's causing tension in your life and allowing you to go through things that you look at and go, why in the mess am I even having to deal with this? Why am I having to deal with this? Why do I have to deal with something that makes absolutely no sense to my life? Because you're starting to sound a little bit better. You have no idea the things that God does in your life. No eye seen, no ear heard, nor has it entered in the mind of God, a mind of man, what God has in store for those who believe. Little by little, and man, I need my crank because this is getting really hard. But God, he tunes you. He keeps squeezing. He keeps applying pressure, and he keeps doing in your life little by little to get you to a place to where when you turn around, you go, wow, thank you, God, for the trials and the mess that I had to endure, because now I'm ready to possess the promise. Now I'm ready. Now I'm able to possess the promise that you have for me. I'm able to take it because you've been tweaking and you've been fine-tuning my life. So, that sounds better. Not perfect, but it sounds better. Now, me, when I first started playing drums, I wanted to get it right then. You're a 13-year-old, you're like, man, I'm going to play the biggest shows and concert. No, that wasn't the right attitude to have. Because I never did. Didn't happen. But God, little by little, put instructors in my life. I played all the way through high school. I lived behind a drum in high school. But it took me years to get to a point to where I knew what I was doing. And now I get to do things like this. I get to play and usher people into the presence of God. One year I was in my bedroom. I was playing drums for All State Youth Choir, and I was running over my music. I was just sitting in the floor. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this, because for some of you, this is going to seem too real, too cliche, or actually kind of thin. But I was sitting in the floor, and I was playing in the floor, listening to this music. And real softly, a voice just spoke to my head and spoke to my heart and said, you know, I love to hear you play. Just like that. And I stopped and was like, what? What was that? That just... But then, you know, I got to thinking about it in my bedroom floor and almost just busted out crying like a little boy. The Father gave me a gift for me to enjoy it, but more so for him to enjoy it. And when your Father looks at you after he's given you a gift and says, man, I love to hear you play. I love to see you in a fitness class doing what I've gifted you to do. I love to see you operate in your gift and your ability because it's yours and people will benefit from it. But it grows little by little. It doesn't happen overnight. You can't expect to be that man or woman of God that you dream about being today. Now, some of you be like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're supposed to be the best we can be today. Hey, we're human. I get that. Trust me. Trust me. We have stuff, and then we learn. And so I went in and I was like, people are like, no, that sounds terrible. I stunk. It was bad. But God grabbed me, and little by little, I began to learn. I started learning, and I started learning rudiments. I started learning music, placement, and all that kind of stuff. Until finally, I reached a point where I was like, hey, I can do that. I can do that. Some of you don't believe in yourself at all in here this morning. And by nature, I am not a person to get up here and do this in front of you. By nature, I'm not a person that does that in front of you. But that's not who I am. But sometimes the gifting that God is putting you is greater than you are, and people need to see it. It's not about you. It isn't about you at all. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what God has put in you. When we worship the Father, we're worshiping Him for who He is, and then we see our place with Him. That's why worship's so awesome in this place. That's why we want to see God's face. Because that's when we're put in a position to see us for who we really are, sons and daughters, gifted by an almighty God, a Father greater than any of us have ever had or known, who has gifted us to the point where he said, look, you have no idea. Your gifting and ability will help usher you into my promise, little by little. You grow in this thing little by little every single day. It's not going to come overnight. And we can't expect it overnight. It's not the point. God never promised that we'd have everything today. He looked at the children of Israel and said, look, you can't have it right now. If you go into that land right now and it's completely cleaned out, you'll be overrun. You're not ready. You're not strong enough. Some of us aren't strong enough for the calling of God in our lives. Some of us aren't ready for it. That's why we're still in a holding pattern. Well, just hold up. Just hold up. Waiting isn't necessarily a bad thing. In our minds, it is. Waiting is good as long as you do it in Christ. Hey. We were talking about that the other day. We can hear our children back there in children's ministry, and I'm all up in the screen, so I'm going to move. I love to hear kids, man. I love it when pastor says, hey, we ain't worried about them. That just means something's happening back there. In a good way. We're not going to harm your kids or eat them or anything. It's all good. But listen, the life we live for God is a life of process, of small successes, little by little. Truth is built upon daily. Truth is built upon daily by reading the Word of God. Sanctification and holiness are built upon daily as we stay close to God, the one who made us. And we have to make up our minds not to live a life of sin, but to live a life for Christ. We can do that, by the way. Everybody raise your hand. Say, I can do that. I can do that. You're right, you can. You can make up your mind to live a life free of sin. And the great thing is, David knew it best when he said in Psalms, he said, God, you've left enough room under my feet where I won't slip. But if I do, which makes no sense to me, God, you've left enough room under my feet where I won't slip. He said, but if I do, you uphold me by your strong right hand. So if mercy's new every day, and it's a process, God said, man, look, you have no excuse. We really don't have an excuse. God, I messed up. Okay. Mercy's new every morning. Let's go. Stop whining and let's keep going. But let's not stop where we are. Let's keep going little by little, day by day. Let's keep pushing on in this thing to see what God has. You might just reach that goal that you've been wanting. Your spirit, he's strengthened and built up and built up and built up and built up little by little every single day. He's built up and he's built up every day, little by little. As you spend time with God, as you spend time with the one who made you, spend time in his presence, in worship. Now remember, the stronger will rule the weaker. The stronger will rule the weaker. If your flesh and your soulish man is stronger than your spirit man, then you'll be in subjection to your flesh in sin. But if your spirit man is being built upon daily, little by little, in the presence of God, he will be stronger than your flesh. You won't succumb to the temptations that you used to. You won't succumb to the pressure of living like everybody else. You'll live a life according to the Word of God, because your spirit man, the one that's tied directly to Jesus, is stronger than this thing we have to walk around in. Little by little, we make it grow. Little by little. Everybody say little by little. You're going to go home and you're going to go to sleep tonight and you're going to be like, little by little. You're going to wake up having a nightmare. Bam! Little by little. Okay. Everything's going to be fine, I promise. Did anybody wake up this morning really jacked up out of their minds because of the hour change? I set my clock for 5:15 a.m. I didn't go to bed until well after 1 p.m. Because I'm one of those guys that has to calm down before I go to sleep. If I go to bed at 9 or 10 o'clock, which that never is going to happen. If I lay down at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, I'm going to lay in the bed like this. I'll be rolling over wondering what Brooke's dreaming about because she's gone. I have to lay on the couch, either watch TV or do something, and just kind of, as she puts it, just mellow out or just relax. So I have to do that before I can go to bed. So I went to bed and I rolled over this morning. I was like, I popped up and I was like, my heart was going. And you're like. So I grabbed my phone off under my pillow because that's my alarm and everything. I looked at it, it said 6 o'clock. I was like, where did 45? I had never heard my alarm. And my alarm was off. I remember checking it before I went to sleep. 5:15, on. Yeah. 6 o'clock, alarm was off. Somebody turned it off in the middle of the night. It must have been me. I'm not going to blame anybody, my wife, my dog, because he can't reach the bed unless he really hops. I was like, forget it. But I got up, and I finally got up and got moving. But little by little, I got moving this morning because it was tough. I'm not going to lie. Everybody say little by little. Listen, you could be one more worship service away from your victory. Everybody listen, you could be one more worship service away from your victory. You could be one more prayer away from your family being born again, your healing that you've desperately been seeking. Didn't come overnight, did it? It was a process, wasn't it? It was hard at times, right? If everything were easy, everybody would have, this thing wouldn't be worth fighting for if it was easy. Nobody ever walked in a boxing match and just walked out because it was easy. You gain victory by pressure, commitment, perseverance. Those things build upon every single day, little by little. And then God brings you a healing that blows your mind away. It's fantastic. Little by little. You could be just a moment away, guys and ladies. We've heard that for years. But you literally could be just a moment away from the exact thing that you've been asking God for. From that one thing that you've been begging God for. And you know what? Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And the Amplified Version says, those secret petitions way in the backside of your heart, maybe even the things that you don't even mention to anyone else. You don't even verbalize them. They're just way down in there. God knows every one of them. And little by little, if you'll stay in this thing, God will bring to pass those little bitty things in the back of your heart that you don't even talk about. Man, it's a yearning and just a draw on your life. Like, hope deferred makes the heart sick, God, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Paul understood this principle. He said, look, I'm not there yet. He said, I'm not there yet. I've not made it. I've not arrived. Little by little, I'm still growing in this thing. And trust me, if he's still growing, I'm still growing. This wonderful life with Jesus is a process. It's a journey. We should get more joy out of the journey than depression or fear out of the result of the journey. We spend so much time looking forward or ahead to God, what's coming, what am I going to have, what am I going to be? It's like, you're missing the picture. Little by little, I'll get you to your promise. Little by little, you just stick into this thing. And I'm going to show you something great, but I can't give it all to you right now. You're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. Now, there's some things in our lives we're ready for right now. We just hadn't gotten them. We just hadn't reached out and picked them up. But it's worth it. It's worth it, isn't it? See? Somebody still picked it up. Little by little. Everybody say little by little. How many of you have promises that you want to see? You raise your hand. Okay, now put your hands down. Those who didn't raise your hand, you have promises that you haven't seen. There's destiny and purpose. It's something that we drill in young people every day. You have destiny and purpose beyond your imagination. Let me tell you something. If you'd have told me, 15 years ago when God really began to call me into ministry, that I'd go into full-time ministry, be gone almost 8 years, and then come right back to where I started, to be with some of the very same people that I started with. I remember when those girls over there were this tall and had more hair than body. It's fantastic. I remember having dive competitions with that one right there. We did the stupidest things in the swimming pool. Stupidest isn't a word. Why did I just say that? I hate that word. We did the dumbest and the most stupid things in the swimming pool. But we didn't get hurt. I don't know how we didn't get hurt. I don't know how we didn't die. I should have hit my head on the side of the pool 1,000 times. But little by little, God kept me from my idiocy and my ignorance. He kept me. Little by little. Because there's a destiny for us all that we haven't attained yet. There are seats that aren't full yet. There are hurts and scars in your life that aren't healed yet. There are hurts and scars in your life that aren't healed yet. There are hurts and scars that aren't healed yet. But little by little, if you allow God. See, God has the uncanny ability not just to heal a wound, but to remove the scar altogether. Yet He maintains His. He maintains His. Little by little, He was tormented till death, till He gave Himself up. No man took it, praise God. But I really believe today, even when He raised from the dead, He went to see His boys and they said, it's not you. He said, yes, me, look at my hand. Look at these scars. Look at my side. Thomas, go ahead and touch it. He maintained the proof that little by little you can be saved, you can be healed, delivered, and given the promises that I have promised you. I can just imagine God sitting on the throne, reaching over and touching the back of His Son and feeling all those scars. And all it does is bring Him into constant remembrance that little by little His people are being saved. Little by little they're being delivered and set free. Little by little hurts are being gone. Promises are coming. Blessing is coming. Little by little every single day. If we don't quit. We quit, God's not obligated anymore. We've cut the rope. He said, look, I'm going to honor my covenant. We've heard pastors say it several times. God is going to honor that covenant. Knew we couldn't. That's why He cut it. That's why He said it. And that's why He fulfills it. He said, all you have to do is be willing to come this way and I'll take care of the rest. So it doesn't matter whatever difficulty or situation or circumstance we're in. Little by little, we keep pushing on in this thing. And God's going to do amazing things in your life. And in all of the lives around you. Because your life is never lived for you alone. Ever. Ever. Somebody's life is being touched and affected by yours. Whether you want it to or not. Whether you want them to or not. Your life is affecting somebody. And it's either going to be positive or it's either going to be negative. We're going to show a video here in just a second, and I'm going to close. We're going to be done. Really, if I say I'm closing, I'm closing. Most of the time. But this video is about forgiveness. Some of you may have seen it. And I want you to see, because little by little kind of sticks in this video to me. Little by little, this one man's life has changed because of a disaster. Because of a wrong mistake. Little by little, God took him from his wrong mistake and put him in a place that's incredible. It's just incredible. So let me show this to you. Is everybody okay? That's what I'm talking about. See, we tight. All right, here we go. Let's watch this and then we'll close.
Over the past few years, I've been on this journey of writing songs inspired by the real-life stories that people sent to me. This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It hit me kind of hard. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. Renee wrote to me and said, I now have a mission that I never would have chosen. What she meant by that is that in the years that follow, she began to travel around to schools and churches and different functions, and she would speak about the dangers of drunk driving. But as the years progressed, she felt like something was missing from her presentations. And that's when God put it on her heart that she had not forgiven this man who took the life of her daughter. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, I forgive you. The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, I can't even forgive myself, and she forgave me. Eric said he found his eternal salvation as a result of this act. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there, though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years. This blew me away. The reason she did it is so that Eric could have a second chance at life and so that he could join her in their presentations. She told me that now she shares not only about the dangers of drunk driving, but also about the power of forgiveness.
Now, the story behind this song is from someone right here in our area. We're going to let her tell the story. She won't know you're here. Are you comfortable with hiding?
I'm comfortable with hiding, yeah. I'm nervous right
now. Me too, my balls are sweaty.
She has no idea I'm here.
Yeah,
no.
She doesn't even,
and this is the thing, she has no idea that there's been a song written inspired by her story. I'm in another room waiting to go in there and surprise Renee. I can see her on a video screen. She has no idea I'm in the room right next.
And you submitted the story, I know, to Matthew West.
It's a story that needs to be told, right? Because not for me. It's not about me. It's about God, and it's about forgiveness. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to chance this. And I sent it in, and I just prayed, you know, God, if this is supposed to happen, then I just, you know, hope that it will.
You know, we know Matthew, and he wrote a song about your story.
No way.
Matthew has sent us the song because he wanted you to be one of the first people to hear it. It's called Forgiveness.
It's called Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
First of all, I'm blown away. What a gift.
Have you ever seen him in concert or
no,
did you?
No, and I wanted to see him. I tried to go see him when he was in West Palm because I thought that I would have a presentation down there. And
right.
I thought,
during
and
the
then
story
of course,
of your
you know,
tour?
Yeah, yes. No, actually, I don't know if it was that he tried, you know, he's like,
right.
They sent out a thing, if you're going to be in any of these cities, and they were all too far away. And then when he was
right.
at the thing in Orlando, I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, go see him, you know, then.
Right.
And I had to go present.
So you never could make the connection
never
with him
could.
Personally?
Never could.
Never seen him?
No.
Turn around.
Where are you?
Little by, I love the part where, and I wanted you to see the whole thing so you could see that, you know, he's a major songwriter today. How many of you guys have ever heard that song on the radio? Did you know the story behind it? See, now you've benefited from somebody else's decision and somebody else's consequence and somebody else's little by little. Everybody in this room has now been affected by somebody you would have never met before. You'd have never even known who that woman was. You'd have never even known the point behind that song. Little by little. One, every family member went in and forgave this guy. 24-year-old guy just made a mistake. A horrible mistake. To be with him for the rest of his life. One mistake, but little by little, every family member went in and began to forgive this guy. That part right there just got me and blew me away. And then they got to meet, and her whole life was changed. That guy's life was changed. And you got to reap a benefit of somebody else's little by little. I'm telling you, man, we are not in this thing by ourselves. Little by little, if we'll commit and stay committed, and stay committed. That's a term that's so loosely thrown around in the church today. We need to be committed. Yay, but nobody's committed. I'm committed to Jesus. Yay, but nobody's committed. So if we can make up our minds today to set a goal to be completely committed to Christ, little by little, regardless of how hard it is, if we can stay there, then God's going to do incredible things in your life. Can everybody stand with me, please? I'm going to ask you a question. If you would say, now we're not going to spend a whole long time right here, just being honest. Well, bow your head and close your eyes just for a second, please. Just out of respect for everyone. If you're not born again, if your life is not in the hands of Christ, then little by little, you're slowly going in the wrong direction. You're little by little getting harder and farther away from the King of your life, from the King of glory, the one that loves you so much that He died for you.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.